Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Packers Podcast. My name is Michael Cohen, and I'm here, as always, with Bob McGinn. We are in the penthouse tonight, Bob McGinn, and it's clean. I cleaned just for you, Bob.
It's beautiful, Mike.
It's resplendent.
What'd you use on this place?
Everything. A lot of love. It's glistening, really.
When's the last time you scrubbed this thing down?
The last big cleaning was probably... See, I don't know about everybody out there that, you know, is a guy my age that lives alone in their 20s, but I would rather clean less frequently, but when I do, just completely go top to bottom and clean every single thing than to clean like once a week.
Okay.
So, you know, I let it go.
You ever?
Training camp doesn't help.
Do you let it go once a month, Mike?
Yeah, maybe two.
Squalor, huh?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. A little bit of squalor.
That's all good.
But it's glistening right now. It is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it smells good in here, Mike.
Thanks, Bob.
Downtown Green Bay, on the river.
Yes, on the river.
Fourth floor at a penthouse, yep.
Yeah, the penthouse apartment, as Bob calls it. So, it's been a little while since we last spoke, and I guess we should tell everyone what we're going to do tomorrow, Bob.
Tomorrow?
Well, it'll be, when they listen to this, it'll be the morning of, but it'll be Thursday morning. We're recording this very late Wednesday night.
And you're going to drive this, drive us straight north, 50 miles, to the vacation hub, Crivitz, Wisconsin. And we're going to play Hunter's Glen Golf Club. It's a gem in the North Woods. I go up there once a year. We played there last year. This will definitely be my last outing. I have not been on a course in about 30 days since I resumed work again.
Me too.
And we're just going to show up, go to the range, hit a few, and see what happens.
This is the first time that I get to play with my own clubs since we first played back in June or whatever it was, maybe even May. So it should be fun. And after that, we get back to work with an exhibition game tomorrow night against the Raiders.
The back nine is not fun, Mike.
Well, you lost a lot of balls last year.
It's tree-lined, tight. It's going to be 83 tomorrow afternoon when we're playing.
You're going to shoot 91. And you're going to be just ecstatic with how your season ends. Did you add up your scores yet?
I'm awaiting the final.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, what's up, Mike?
The music.
Oh, the music. So that's by Ram Jam?
Yes, Ram Jam.
1977.
Which, coincidentally, is the nickname of Matt Rotherham. That's what everybody calls him, Ram Jam.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And why did I select that music, Mike? It's not exactly from my genre.
It's a family tie, I understand.
It definitely is. My son-in-law, Casey Kopitzke, K-O-P-I-T-Z-K-E, played in the minor leagues catcher for 7 years in the Chicago Cubs organization. And he completed his career with 2 seasons at AAA Des Moines, the Iowa Cubs. And this was his walk-up music.
Yeah.
Black Betty.
Yeah.
So my wife, Pat, and I would go to these games several each of his seasons. And at the end, we heard Black Betty all the time. So Casey now, he was a manager after his playing career ended. He was a manager at AAA or Single-A Peoria in the Midwest League for 3 years. And then he left baseball, went to law school at Marquette. And now he's working for the Minnesota Twins in their legal department.
Was he a decent hitter?
Yeah, he was, and he's a great defensive catcher.
Okay.
My daughter Erin and my grandson Sam, they're living over in St. Paul now.
Did he ever get a call-up, even on a short-term basis?
There was never, no. I mean, a September call-up?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no. There was never an injury ahead of him, and he would have been the first guy called up for probably 2 years for the Cubs.
Okay.
Very disappointing there, but he's never looked back once he got into law school.
Yeah, and he stayed close to the game out there in Minnesota.
Yep, the Twins. And the Twins have been coming on after a dreadful start.
You would know better than me. Yep. I would not.
Abysmal.
So it's not very often that we have some little piece of news to talk about when we record this podcast. But earlier today, when the transaction wire came out, there was a little note on there, a little nugget at the bottom that said Jordy Nelson had passed his physical. He'd been reinstated from the PUP list. He's active. If they were going to practice tomorrow, he would practice. Of course, they have a game Thursday night against the Raiders, as we mentioned, so he won't be playing, I imagine. But what do you think? It's been a while.
He might be in uniform.
He might be.
They might do that. You know, he could warm up before. Might do that. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Well, it's big news for the Packers. We don't think Aaron Rodgers will play, but it's going to give Jordy Nelson about 4 practices next week. to then make his return against the 49ers, I assume.
Yep.
And Rodgers will play there as well.
I would think so. Yep. I would think so. So what's interesting is that it's really been since Seattle 2 years ago that he played in a football game. That's, what, 20 months?
Yeah.
What do you think would be the most difficult thing to get back after just a 20-month layoff? I would think that you're not used to hitting. You're not used to getting hit that many times a game.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But, I mean, these guys have been hit their whole life, so I don't really know.
I don't think anything's going to be a problem. These guys are so skilled and so used to this stuff, Mike. I don't see it. I know a lot's going to be written, but the key is just what kind of a player is he going to be, you know, after all this kind of so-called small break-in period. Just at age 31, coming off an ACL, what's he going to be like?
What do you think?
I think he's going to be very good. Will he be better a year from now? Well, he'll be a year older.
He'll be 32?
Yep. Okay. But the knee will be another year removed from surgery. It's hard to say. He's a great performer. He's a great competitor. He wants this in the worst way. He wants to, you know, prove he can do this. And like Luke Getsy told me in June, never bet against the guy.
So what does that leave? Just Corey Linsley on the PUP list right now?
I think so.
So Corey's been out for a long time with his hamstring. And when you spoke to him in the locker room, he said he actually hurt it back in May?
Correct.
It's a long time for a hamstring. Do you think it's a concern, a legitimate one? Or are they just being super careful knowing that, you know, they've got Treader and he can handle the first team reps fine, so why risk it?
I don't know. I mean, let's not forget that the Corey's position coach, James Campen, his career ended in October of 1993 with a torn hamstring off the bone. Never could play again after surgery. It's a brutal injury. So we don't know where Lindsley's degree of injury is on this thing, but it's got to be serious.
He's in the locker room. He's at practice, but it's, you know, typically when you hear about a, you know, a muscle or a tendon injury or anything like that, unless it's really, really bad, from May till now is a long time to be out. So we'll have to see if he comes back. But everybody else that began the season on PUP is now back.
And remember, Lindsley had a setback, right?
He did.
In June, I think.
Sounds right.
I think he was suggesting that, yeah. So he had one setback, and now they're petrified, and they don't want another one of those.
Yeah. So when everybody wakes up and has the ability to listen to this podcast and then they also go on our website or read the paper, they're going to see an annual feature that you do in terms of breaking down the roster. For those who didn't really listen, why don't you tell them what they can read this morning, I guess, as they hear this podcast.
So it's a 90-man roster, right, Mike?
Yep.
And so I categorize, I've been doing this for, I don't know, 20-plus years, categorize them in four categories. Locks. This is against to make the 53. So a player's a lock to make the 53, a good bet to make the 53, on the fence in relation to the 53 or on the bubble, and a long shot. So there's 90 players, and the numbers where there was 25 locks. There were 12 good bets, 31 on the fence, 20 long shots, and two headed for four-game suspensions. And last year, this year, 25 locks on this, and last year on this very day, there were 24. The numbers are almost exactly the same. The team is very similar to last year, and that's the way Ted Thompson and McCarthy operate.
So let's go through it. Let's start. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the wide receivers.
Okay.
When we go on offense, Mike, you got to go wide receiver, tight end, O-line, QB, RB, then D-line, LB, DB, and special teams, all right?
Whatever you want, Bob.
Thank you, Mike.
Just stop tapping the table so people don't hear these little booms in the background.
All right, wide receivers. The only lock is Cobb because of Jordy's knee. So I put Jordy as a good bet with Montgomery and Davis. On the fence, we got Aberderis, in order, Aberderis, Adams, Janice, and Allison. Long shots, Herb Waters, Ed Williams, Jamel Johnson, and Mr. Harvey Binford. They're going to keep 5 to 7. All right, how do you see it before I tell you how I see it?
In terms of who they keep?
Yep, just what are the bullet points here?
Well, what are we going to decide as an agreement between the two of us on Janice's health? Are we going to assume he's available or not available at any point in time this season?
So he's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Right.
I think they will keep him on the roster, and then he'll just have to sit a couple, three games, and then he'll be ready to go.
That's what I think as well. But another option, as pointed out by our colleague Tom Silverstein, was they could put him on injured reserve. And they could either keep him there all year and keep him out for the season, or they could use their one designated to return spot. And the reason that Tom thought that that might be likely is because it would be a sneaky way to keep the rights to all seven of their top receivers.
Yeah,
they could keep six on the roster, Janice on IR, and then you've got the rights to all seven. Decide what you want to do later. But in the case, but I agree. I think they're going to keep him on the 53-man roster. And in that case,
who's getting cut?
I don't think they want to cut Trevor Davis, but he would...
He's not getting cut.
If he doesn't do anything in the exhibition games, he might not get picked up by anybody else, though.
They need him, Mike. He's fast, and watching his feet in those one-on-ones on Monday...
Okay.
He's pretty quick in and out of his breaks. Okay. I was stunned. I guess I really studied him in that day. You know, there's only been two one-on-one periods all year. I'm impressed. I think he's here for sure. I gave him a good bet, but you see Montgomery here barring injury, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think Montgomery's going to be there. I don't know.
So that's four. Cobb, Nelson, Montgomery, and Davis.
No doubt, yeah. And I think they're going to keep Aberderis, too. Maybe we disagree there, but I think he's been the most consistent receiver they've had in camp, and they're at least trying to see what he gives them on special teams. It seems like he's a solid returner if they don't want to risk Montgomery, or if Hyde gets injured, et cetera, et cetera.
If you look online or in the paper, the way I listed these players was in the order of how I have them in a category. So on the fence, I got Aberderis 1, Adams 2, Janice 3, and Allison 4.
So if you think that they're going to keep Janice, then doesn't you have them keeping seven receivers?
Yeah. You know, they're going to keep two QBs.
Even though McCarthy poo-pooed the idea of keeping seven.
I think it's possible now with Janice, yeah, because he can't play the first couple games.
So do you think there's any chance they put him on IR and use the designated to return?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that's more likely or less likely than just keeping him on the 53?
Less likely. I say they keep him on the 53. I think they want to use that return for a really good player.
Okay.
So
you think
that
they'll keep seven?
Adams and Allison.
I don't think Allison makes the team. You can't have him keep eight, Bob. Come on.
Is Adams getting cut?
No. They won't give up on a second-round pick this early.
He's got to do something in the next couple games, Mike.
I really don't think he's going to get cut. I really don't.
Okay.
When's the last time Ted gave up on a two after 3 years?
He gave up on Brian Brohm, his second training camp, but he was a horrible quarterback. But they did, Mike.
What about Worthy?
Yeah, he got traded out of here, I mean, just for nothing.
He was a two?
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess it's possible. I don't know. Okay, so Cobb, Nelson, Montgomery, Davis, that's four. Aberderis, I guess they do keep seven then, if I'm going to go that way. And I think they cut Allison and pray like heck that nobody picks him up so they can stash him on the practice squad immediately.
Mike, it usually happens. Somebody's going to get hurt and solve this thing.
Sure.
That's the way it happens.
I mean, I think the Packers have been fortunate so far in that they haven't had one significant injury.
Extremely.
They've had a bunch of guys that have been nicked up, you know, miss a couple days, you know, twist an ankle, that kind of thing. But there's been nothing significant so far. And last year at this time, we had Aberderis out for a month with a huge concussion. We had Bakhtiari with a knee problem. We had Bulaga with, did he have a concussion in camp last year, I think so. So there was a ton of stuff going on, especially on that offensive line. And it's been relatively calm so far. And I think part of it is the live tackling is all but gone.
They don't hardly ever even practice, Mike.
And we've seen drills last year that featured live tackling that have been modified this year so that they don't feature live tackling. So they've even reduced it from what they did last year. So it'll be interesting. Let's move on to the...
I think Herb Waters, I think Herb Waters has a real shot to be on the practice squad.
You think so?
Yep. I love Binford's speed, but he's really small.
So what do you think? So do you think that the two practice squad receivers from last year, Ed Williams and Jamel Johnson, are done? They've had their look, and it's time to move on?
They've got to really make a move here in the next couple games.
I think Jamel's been pretty disappointing. He had some brutal drops, two of them the other day.
Yep.
I think Ed Williams is a step ahead of him, but still behind Waters, I agree.
Yep.
All right, tight ends.
All right, the locks are Rodgers and Cook. On the fence, you got Perillo and Backman. Longshots, Henry, and Pierce.
So what prevented you from listing any of the tight ends as a good bet? Don't think they'll take three, or do you don't think the players are good enough?
Well, they'll keep three or four, and I just, you know, I mean, Cook, despite his blocking deficiencies the other night, he's going to be here. Rodgers, of course. And the good bets, no. I mean, I'm flipping a coin. If they only keep three...
I agree, it's Perillo.
It's all, but not by much over Backman.
Okay.
Backman or Bachman?
Backman.
Backman. And so, I don't know. I don't see Perillo having a big edge on Backman.
I do.
Because of athletic ability and speed.
Okay. Yeah, but I think in terms of production and track record, Perillo.
No doubt. And Perillo.
And special teams ability. I think Perillo's smarter and can play more fundamentally sound. We saw what Backman did on special teams last year. I'm sure Packers fans remember the season finale against the Vikings where he lost contain on that play with Thielen to set up a touchdown early in the game.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
And he was inactive at times because he couldn't contribute enough on special teams.
Backman's been better, Mike.
On teams or just in general?
In general.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. He's definitely looked better. And last year at this time, he looked lost.
Henry, I haven't noticed him.
Disappointing for me. I really thought Henry was going to come in and have a good camp, Mitchell Henry. But he's just been in and out of the lineup. He was sick one day, and then he had a groin problem. And I just haven't seen it from him. I don't think it's going to happen.
All right, the O-line. You know, Mike, there was a time when they used to keep 10. But O-linemen are like running backs nowadays, you know? The value... They want to keep as few as possible, make these guys all play a whole bunch of positions and get by and then load up at skill positions. So I'm saying they could keep even 7 to 9, most likely 8 or 9, but I'm not going to be have them keep 7 and not have me have that in there. All right, you got the big 7 if Lindsley's hamstring holds, right? You got the 5 starters, you got Spriggs and Treader. That's 7 for sure.
So all Lindsley right. would be 8?
No, Lindsay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
7.
Lindsay's part of that. Okay, yep. Okay.
Now, on the fence, in order of making it, how I see it, you got Lane Taylor, Kyle Murphy, Mr. Walker, and Don Barclay in order. Now, if they keep 8, Taylor, they gave him $600 guaranteed this year on a 2-year deal. But he played very poorly against the Browns. He's got to shape up. This was a terrible first game for him, run and pass, and he's got to really pick it up. And I think he will. I'm sure he got ripped the heck in the meetings this week. I'm sure his pride's been stung. He's a pretty prideful guy. So you might want to watch him tomorrow night because Taylor's got to pick it up.
Okay.
He's number 8 for right now, but another bad game, and it's anybody's job here.
Okay. So let me ask you one question here. So you have Taylor, Murphy, Walker, and Barclay in that order for on the fence. With Murphy being a 6th-round pick and a rookie and one who didn't play in the first exhibition game because of a concussion, what made you put him ahead of Walker? Because I feel like if you cut Walker, who has played and has been on a couple teams, that somebody would be likely to scoop him up, at least just to put him on their practice squad or something. Murphy, I don't know if anyone would pick him up. I don't know. You and I have differing opinions on Murphy.
Yeah,
I have not been impressed with him. I think his body is not ready for the position. He's built so much differently than any of their tackles. You know, he's just got a little bit of loose weight in the middle. And I really don't think he's been that good. But I know you think otherwise.
That's a good argument, Mike. It makes a lot of sense. I just don't. He's 6'6 and a half. He's a smart guy. Yes, he needs body redefining, no doubt. But I do not see Ted Thompson cutting a 6 unless he really, really, the guy really...
Well, he cut Ringo last year.
He did. You're right about that. He was a 6, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of like Murphy a little bit better than you when I saw him the first week. In protection, I was kind of impressed. But he's kind of a right tackle guy. I think he can play guard eventually. I question left tackle, but they don't need that. They got Spriggs to back up there.
Now, you and I both like Josh Walker as a guy.
Yep.
You know, one of the nicer guys in that locker room. But as I wrote in today's paper, I think, so this would be Wednesday, Walker has the height of a guy to play tackle, right?
Yep.
He's got the height of a tackle, but he's got the build and stature of a guard in terms of weight.
6'5 and a half, 328.
Yeah. So to me, he's kind of between positions. He's been a guard, and he has success there, and I bet he can probably hold up okay, but he's a little too tall. And so they put him out at tackle, and he's just not quite quick enough to me. So I think he's kind of in between. But I do think that given the fact that he's been here for now about 2 years, and he'd been with the Colts before that, and he can give you some flexibility with position, I do think that if they cut him, somebody else would take a chance on him. I don't think it'd be the end by any means.
It's the hardest position to find on cutdown day, Mike.
Yeah.
O-line. You might be right again. I could be real wrong on that. They might figure we'll cut Murphy. Nobody's going to touch him. Get him on the practice squad all year.
So what do you think of Barkley? Is his time basically done?
Not necessarily. I think, again, with so many issues around the league at offensive line, I think they could maybe get a seventh for Don Barkley.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think
five position versatility, 23 starts on the resume. Now, you know, he's coming off the ACL. He hasn't not had a great camp. He played much better, 73 snaps at center the other night. He gave up the safety. The safety's on him. But by and large, the game was encouraging.
Now, this was before I got here, but when Bulaga was out with the ACL, Barkley was not terrible, right? He was somewhat decent in that season. He filled in at right tackle?
He was somewhat decent. I gave him a C-plus 1 year and a C the other, I think.
Okay. So do you think that his position on the roster, in terms of whether or not he makes it, is linked at all to Corey Linsley's hamstring? Because other than Treader, you don't have any other centers on this list except Barkley, unless you go down to the long shot column.
Yeah, it probably is. I hadn't thought of that, Mike.
So I think that if Linsley is going to begin the season on the PUP list, which means he would miss 6 games, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So if that's the case, then I think Barkley has a much stronger chance of making the roster than he would if the Packers feel confident about Lindsley's hamstring. Because other than Treader, the only other centers you've got are in the long shot category with Jacob Flores, and Rotherham can't play center even though they've used him there, or Stoik, the local boy.
Right.
So that's the only saving grace, I think, for Barkley. Otherwise, I totally agree with you.
There's 5 guys in the long shot category. Really, the one player with the kind of redeeming qualities is this Lucas Patrick, a guard from Duke who wasn't added till mid-June, I believe it was. You know, Patrick suffered. He wouldn't tell me what he suffered, but he's playing with this club, right, Mike, on his right hand?
I can't remember which hand, but he's had the club for at least a week and a half.
Well, it's a major injury, and I don't think he missed a day.
I don't think so either.
And it's amazing. And he played pretty well in this game, and I think he's definitely going to be on the practice squad. He's not a bad player.
And the bottom line is that if the injury was as bad as it is and they didn't like him, they would have cut him or go with an injury settlement or something like that. So the fact that they're here, they want him to play with a cast, reminds me a little bit of what they did with Alonzo Harris last year. He broke his hand. He had the cast at the end of camp in the club, and they put him out there in the final exhibition game with a club to have him carry the ball, and he ended up making the team as a third running back. Now, I'm not saying that Patrick's going to make the team, but I think the same level of interest applies. They want him to be out there to see what he is, and that's why they're encouraging him to play even with a club on his hand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Quarterback.
Well, they're going to keep two.
Right.
Most of the time under McCarthy, they have kept two. I think it's 7 out of 10 years. So we got Rodgers and Hundley as locks. The long shots are Callahan and Williams.
Who do you like better, Callahan or Williams?
Neither.
Yeah.
Callahan's 6'1". I mean, God rest, you know, God bless him. He ran 4.98. You can see that. Mike, they made some great catches for him in that first half the other night.
Yeah, they did.
You know, he didn't turn it over, and Williams really didn't do much of that either. They won a football game with those two guys. It's really something. It was a pretty good effort to win with them. And who knows, someone might get picked up, but they're going to go with two.
Okay. Running back.
All right, so we got Lacy and Starks up top.
Right.
I think they're going to keep 4, you know.
Counting Ripkowski.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It could be 3.
It could be. I thought you meant 4 running backs plus Ripkowski, and then I was going to say no.
It could be 3 because Cobb and Montgomery in the backfield, right?
Exactly, yep.
It could be.
Definitely could be.
Unlikely, but could.
Sure.
All right, the good bet is Ripkowski. I couldn't put him on the top line.
Really?
He didn't block well the other night.
They don't have any other fullback.
Yes, they do. Squirewell is not that bad.
No, I agree. He's not that bad. But he has just started taking over the position, and I don't think there's any way he contributes on special teams the way Ripkowski can.
He's a lot slower. Good point. Good point.
So I would have put those three as locks, Lacy, Starks, Rutkowski. But you have Rutkowski as a good bet, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Now tell me about this fence category and how you've got it ordered here.
I got Burks, Crockett, and Squirewell.
One, two, three.
First on Squirewell. A defensive lineman at Division II Newberry, which gave the Packers Brandon Bostic.
Never heard of him.
Squirewell is 265.
He's a big boy.
He catches the ball pretty well. We've seen that out of the jug.
I was telling you about this at the beginning of camp. I thought his hands are pretty darn good.
He ran 4.98. That's a problem.
What
Rutkowski
run?
4.74.
Okay.
That's a big difference on special teams, and that's his greatest impediment to making it.
Sure.
But Squirewell blocked pretty well the other night, Mike. There was quite a few instances of him leading, and I was kind of impressed. I mean, it's a hard, you know, you got to read on the run and make adjustments, and it wasn't bad.
And running backs coach Ben Sermons actually had some pretty kind words for him. You know, a lot of the times these guys are complimentary of the undrafted guys just for the sake of not tearing down their egos. But I actually thought his comments on Squirewell were extremely genuine. He said that for a guy that just learned the position, he's doing extremely well, and that if he had some time to learn and develop, Sermon said he's a player that could legitimately contribute.
Yeah.
So that makes me think that maybe they would want him for the practice squad, even if they didn't. But you don't usually see a fullback on the practice squad.
No, but he could take some snaps at D-line.
He could.
Perhaps in practice, you know.
Big tight end.
Yeah, a real big one. All right, the running back. So we got Burks and Crockett on the fence.
You're high on Burks.
After the other night, I certainly am. I mean, I've liked him throughout camp, but again, you never really see till they start getting hit.
What'd scouts say about him when the Packers signed him as an undrafted guy from Troy, right?
Yeah. A little guy. He ran 4.56, which isn't great.
Right.
Although Crockett is 4.57. He's 5'8.5". He's up to 213.
Okay.
He's not a little guy. He's a short guy.
Right.
He's from the same college, Troy, as DeJuan Harris.
Oh, okay.
And that's before your time. But people here know that DeJuan Harris was one heck of a football player in 2012 down the stretch. And this Harris is shorter than this guy. Maybe he's a little quicker than this guy. They both run hard. Burks is...
And he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah. Burks on the blitz pickup the other night was really something. There's three things of that on tape, and it was really something, huh, Mike?
So if it came down to, if they wanted to keep four, Lacy, Starks, Rutkowski being 1, 2, 3,
yep.
You think right now they'd keep Burks over Crockett?
Yes.
Okay.
Based on one game. Now, Crockett can change it. He's not that far removed in anybody's mind, including mine. But he's more of a workhorse type, and they have two workhorses.
Now, if either of those guys does make the roster, do you actually expect them to receive playing time on a consistent basis, even if it's in small amounts? Or is it going to be basically what we've seen the last 3 years, where Lacy and Starks are 1-2 and then Rodgers is the third leading rusher?
I wouldn't see Mike McCarthy deviating from that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I want to say something about Brandon Ross, the kid from Maryland. He's not that bad, I don't think. He's 4.43 speed. You see some of that. You saw some the other night.
He's tall, isn't he?
No, he's kind of short. 5'10".
Okay, never mind.
9.5.
I thought he was taller than that. Maybe just because he stands next to Burks.
Yeah. You know, he averaged 6.4, which led the Big Ten in average yards per rush last year, playing for Maryland. He's not totally out of it. I mean, with a big game or two here in the exhibition, he could get in this thing against Burks and Crockett. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Okay.
All right.
Let's flip the page.
Go to the D, huh?
How do you start on defense?
The D line. They're keeping five. Agreed? Not counting Pinnell, who's suspended.
Yes.
They always keep five. They're going to keep five in the 3 days of the 3-4. All right. Daniels, Clark, and Guyon are locks.
Agreed.
Lowry's a good bet.
Yeah.
He's here.
Yeah.
On the fence, it's the fifth job comes down to Ringo or Brian Price of UT San Antonio.
Yep.
The long shots are Tyler Cooter, Demetrius Anderson, and Pennell is going to be suspended for a month.
Right.
All right, how do you see it, Mike?
Well, Daniels, Clark, Guyon, no doubt. You know, those are going to be probably the starters in the base defense, you know, this season. Although Lowry has taken some snaps out there at five technique. Ringo and Price. You know, Ringo's another guy that I kind of expected a little bit more from in camp, similar to Mitchell Henry. Not to say that he's been poor, just that I kind of thought that he would make more of a jump. He got such rave reviews from teammates last season on the practice squad, both for his work ethic, his development. I remember one time, you know, he was telling me about something Josh Sitton said to him, and Sitton told him that he thought he could be a player, a real player one day. And coming from Sitton, who's, you know, one of the best in the league at his position, Ringo was really, you know, flattered by that a little bit. But he just, he had a good showing in the exhibition game, especially in the fourth quarter. He made two plays, but over the course of camp, he's just kind of been average for me. And Price is a guy, he's raw. There's no doubt about that. His fundamentals and his technique sometimes go out the window, but he makes up for it with a hell of a motor, and he's got a little bit of nastiness to him.
Yeah, I think so. He's dropped 15 pounds, he told me, since June.
You talked to him just the other day,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's down to 318. He's got a really good record in the one-on-one pass rush, Mike. I added it all up from their six sessions, and among the D linemen, he ranks number one in winning percentage. He's 7-3-3, winning percentage 6-5-4.
Okay.
He's got some pass rush, surprisingly enough.
I haven't paid attention enough. I've obviously seen him in the pass rush, but off the top of my head, I can't remember who he's gone against. So I don't know what
usually
his level
Flores,
of competition. Yeah, so I don't know what his level of competition has been.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's a good point, you know.
Now, do you think that Ringo gives them more positional versatility than Price would?
All I see Ringo doing, Mike, at 6'0", 1/2 inch, 300, is playing 3-tech in sub-packages.
Okay.
I do not see him in the base anywhere. They got to find out here. They have to decide whether they think this guy can hold up against the run in anything.
So if he gets cut, that would be 2 years in a row that Ted cut him, and he's a draft pick.
Right.
I know you have Ringo ahead of Price. I kind of want to flip it. I kind of do.
Now, if Pinnell comes back, though, he's more like Price than Ringo.
Exactly. That is a very good point, that Ringo would give them a little bit of a different look, different body type, different get-off on the ball than Pinnell. And, you know, Pinnell is just a mountain of a person. He's their biggest lineman, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's a guy that's just going to eat up space the way Raji ate up space, but with a little bit more athleticism, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say they keep five.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter which five. Let's just say they keep five. When Pinnell comes back, do they cut one of the five if they're all healthy so that they'd have six?
Injury will solve the question.
Okay.
It always does in this darn game, Mike. You know, it always does.
Okay.
All right. I want to say something about Tyler Cooter, the guy from Idaho State. He's not bad. I think he's done pretty well in the pass rush, Mike. I mean, he's got a record of 6-7-1, 464. That put him fifth. That's not bad. Seen a lot of nose tackles, rookies come in here and have a 100 winning percentage, something like that. I think practice squad for Cooter. He's not bad. He can play the one and the three. I kind of like him. Anderson got hurt. It's too bad. I thought he started well, but he's got a calf problem now.
We both liked him.
Yep. All right, to the linebacker.
Yep.
Boy, what a mess this is, Mike.
It really is.
I think they're going to keep 9 to 11.
Okay. What'd they keep last year?
I forgot. Okay. I think 10.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
All right, should we talk outside first?
Sure.
All right. So Matthews and Peppers obviously would be locks, but with this, the investigation, the Charlie Sly, Al Jazeera thing, they're good bets right now.
Right.
Who knows if they're there on. This is to make the 53 on the first day, so I got them good bets. All right, Perry's third. He's a lock.
Right.
Four, I got Dayton Jones. He's
okay.
A good bet.
Oh, just at outside.
Outside
right,
only.
Right.
That's four.
Okay.
Five, I'm going to Fackrell. Not on production in this camp, but because he's a third-round pick, and he does flash speed and athletic ability.
Agreed.
All right. Now, they're probably going to keep another one. Probably. Then, in order, I got Elliott, McCray, and Gilbert.
Reggie Gilbert, an undrafted guy from Arizona.
So, it's really tight.
Let me ask you this. Do you pay attention at all to the order in which guys take their reps?
Yes.
Okay, so by that, if you use that metric as something that you want to take into account heavily, they've got 1 and 2, Perry and Matthews.
Yep.
They've been that way all camp.
Correct.
2 has been Peppers and Elliott. Always.
Yeah.
So do you think... Now, I've talked to a couple people about this, and my theory is not that they actually think Elliot is the fourth, just that they want to give him as many chances as possible to figure out what he is and what he's not. But I agree with you. I have thought all through camp that Dayton Jones is fourth. I've always thought that.
You know, when you asked me the question initially about order of substitution, I was thinking about games.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's
But
important.
Elliot was with the second team, I think, in the game.
I think in the case of the pairs, you know, the third pair has been Dayton and McCray.
Yes, and then Fackrell and Gilbert.
All camp, right? Pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you think that matters?
Not really. They just, you know, Elliot's a veteran, and he's there, and so they're just going to put him on the second team. I don't think that's important.
Okay.
All right, let's look at... let's talk about Fackrell. You know, he's been a finesse player so far, Mike. He's been getting pushed wide on his pass rush. I mean, how do you see this guy?
Well, I'm looking at your numbers here that you compiled from the pass rush one-on-one drill. He's 0-11. He hasn't won once this year. And the problem is that he just doesn't have a counter move right now. His one move is a speed rush where he runs as fast as he can and tries to get around the edge. And so the tackles are setting up that way. They know it's what he's going to do. He doesn't have that counter yet to the inside, which he's hoping to work on. I think that with his athleticism and his speed, that he has the potential to be a very good special teams player. I think he could be. And I don't like at all what I've seen from him in the pass rush. However, I thought he's looked okay in coverage.
Okay, yeah. Personally, I think Reggie Gilbert's outperformed him. They're both West Coast players. If you break it down, Gilbert's a guy who played down in a 3-3-5 under Rich Rodriguez at Arizona, right? He's dropped weight. He's now at 258. He's dropped 270 last year. Gilbert's a pretty good player, Mike.
I think
right?
so, too. Yep.
He is a number 93. Fans take a look at this guy tomorrow night. He'll play a ton. He's got a lot going for him.
I agree.
He's smart, too, when you talk to the guy. He's got a lot going for him, and he's not out of the question of making this team. Now, he's not going to – they're going to keep Fackrell over him, but he's got a shot against Elliott and McCray. They're all free agents.
I'm higher on McCray than you are, I think.
Okay.
I like McCray. I think his work ethic is really impressive, and when I went through the game – during the regular season, I always watch the game again the day after the game because you miss so much in the press box. You're looking down to write, you're looking down to tweet, and inevitably you miss some things. So when I watched it the second time, you know, I'm taking my notes as I always do, and on two different occasions I wrote down unbelievable hustle by McCray. There were times where the play would be completely on the opposite side of the field, and he would have no chance of getting there to make the tackle. But he was still sprinting there just to provide an extra body in case somebody broke through. And I thought on two different occasions, he just ran a distance that you don't have to run just to provide support, and that impressed me. And I also think, I know the guy came in with a reputation of wanting to use his speed, but I've been pretty impressed with his bull rush. I think his first shot on the tackle, in terms of the first time he puts his hands on the guy's chest, more often than not, the tackle's going back a little bit, just a little bit. Sometimes they recover and sometimes they don't. And I think the guy's a player on special teams. So I like what I've seen from him more than what I've seen from Elliott. Elliott, to me, big disappointment in camp so far.
He's been almost invisible, Mike.
What's his record in the one-on-ones?
0-11, just like Fackrell.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Of course, Nick Perry's 0-10-1. But Elliott, I don't really know what to say, but he is not winning on the edge anymore. Mike, 2 years ago, he won all the time, in games, too.
He's hanging his hat on special teams right now.
I like McCray, too. I thought the hustle point you made is very interesting. I didn't see that, you know.
Yeah, I remember I wrote it down on two different occasions. And the first time I wrote it down, I said, okay, maybe the guy was just motivated and ran to the ball. But then when I wrote it down a second time, I said, okay, maybe this guy really wants to make the damn team.
He's got a Super Bowl ring. He got dumped by him, basically. No qualifying offer. I'm sure he's really motivated. You're right. He is a bull rusher. He's got a special teams personality. He gets after it.
He's not too much different in terms of what he can provide than what Elliott should provide in theory. A good special teams guy and the ability to pass rush. So they're very similar in that regard. And I think McCray's outperformed Elliott by a significant margin.
He doesn't run good, Mike.
No, he doesn't.
4.8 flat.
Although Winston Moss chortled at me when I told him that he ran 4.8 and said no way. Or if he did, he must have been nervous. Said he plays faster than that.
All right, let's go inside.
Okay.
The locks are Martinez and Ryan.
I don't think Ryan's a lock.
Wow.
He's been injured. He still hasn't been healthy yet.
That's probably a good point, Mike.
He hasn't played in 2.5 weeks.
What's he got, a hammy?
Yeah, and he had that hamstring injury last year, so I wonder if it's an issue.
Yeah, okay. Then we have down no good bets. Then we go on the fence, Bearing.
Yeah, I would put Ryan as a good bet then, in my...
Okay. In order, on the fence, Barrington, Joe Thomas, Carl Bradford, Paniquez Brown, and a long shot, Derek Matthews.
Who do you like of those guys? Anybody stood out to you so far?
Well, we got to see Barrington, right?
Sure.
He's only been out there a couple times. I mean, is he playing against Oakland? I assume.
Yeah, I would think so.
So they got to find out if this tough foot injury he suffered, is it going to reduce his range? What kind of player is he now? You know, he hasn't played since the opener, right? It's been a long dry spell. They need to find out on Barrington. I mean, I could see him starting, and I could see him getting cut or traded.
I think it's all over the board for him. Every option is viable at this point, depending on how he looks in the next 2 weeks.
So I got Thomas, Bradford, and Brown. How do you see that order?
I kind of like Joe Thomas. I don't know. I'm not sold that they want to entrust Blake Martinez this early in the season with a ton of responsibilities. I think Martinez is going to start, partly because Ryan is hurt. And I don't know if they want to put him out there on first down and second down and a lot of special teams and put him out there in the dime. So there's a part of me that thinks they might keep Joe Thomas just to play him in the dime, and then in 4 or 5 weeks, if Martinez is really comfortable, then Joe Thomas might get cut. So that's kind of what I think there. In terms of the guys on the back end, Bradford and Brown, over the course of camp as a whole, I've been more impressed with Boniquez Brown. If you look at just the last week, I've been more impressed with Carl Bradford.
You know, the weight gain you wrote about with Thomas about 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 10 pounds.
He would have no shot if he was 220. What did he play at, 225?
225, yeah, something like that.
Now he's 235, I think 235.
Yeah.
He's a more authoritative hitter. He's getting after people now.
Yeah.
And they're moving when he hits them. So Thomas has helped himself. He's still small.
Yep. Decent teams player on special teams. Decent, not great.
So he's right there.
Do you
he's
think
got
that?
A shot.
So 2 years ago, last season, going into the year, it was going to be Barrington that played all the downs,
yes.
100%.
Yep.
I know we haven't seen much of him, but do you think that the Packers have completely written off that idea that
no.
Barrington could come back and be their three down guy?
I do not.
And he lost a ton of weight too.
Yeah.
22 pounds, I think.
He should be able to run a lot better.
You'd think so. But when we asked Scott McCurley that the other day, our colleague Tom did, McCurley said we still haven't seen enough of him yet to say whether the weight loss has actually improved his speed. And that, to me, was a pretty jarring comment because I kind of expected the coach to say, well, yeah, he looks quicker. And so, I don't know, that kind of...
Well, has the foot robbed him of some movement?
Valid,
we don't know.
Valid question.
We don't know.
So how many inside guys do you think they keep?
Well, I said 9 to 11, 4 or 5.
Okay.
Bradford and Brown. I would take Bradford over Brown right now.
Me too.
What if Bradford keeps playing like this?
It would be interesting because I don't think I don't think Bradford can play the dime at all. Do you?
No.
Okay, so in that respect, he might be a better first and second down player than Joe Thomas, but Joe Thomas gives you something that you need in that dime backer, and last year he hardly played at all on first and second down, so I think Bradford could be the better player, but Joe Thomas could be the more valuable player.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The game is sub. We know that, Mike, right?
Yep. Yep.
Boniquez Brown, he's around the ball. He doesn't impress you coming off the bus. He doesn't run great. He's not very big. You kind of like what you've seen, though, huh?
A little bit, early in camp. I think he's faded the last week. As Bradford has come on, but he plays pretty physical. That's kind of stood out to me about him. He's not afraid to hit.
All right, I want to say something about Derek Matthews, okay, the late signee from Houston. 5'11 and a half, 230. You know, it's kind of like Ross at running back. I would not. This guy is. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Now, he didn't get to play much. I think he had six snaps the other night. But boy, on a sweep off to the right by the Browns, man, he attacked that lead fullback. Sent him flying. He loves contact. He's one of these headhunter, hitter kind of guys. He's small, but he can really run.
Think he could play on teams?
I would think really well.
Yeah, me too.
He's got a good 40 time. I want to see more of Derek Matthews.
Agreed.
All right, DBs.
Yep.
Well, I think seven jobs are pretty well set. You got three safeties, you got four corners, right?
Agreed.
All right, we know the starters, and then you got the backups at corner are Rollins and Gunter, and the third safety's Hyde.
Right.
Seven for sure. They keep 10 or 11. All right, let's go to corner. To me, the number five corner would have been Dimitri Goodson. I see improvement in the guy. I think he's playing the ball better in the air this year. I've been pretty impressed. Plus, he's a heck of a gunner.
Even with the poor exhibition game he had.
He gave up a touchdown.
And he committed a late hit penalty on the sideline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
But the touchdown, yeah, it was a heck of a throw.
It was.
So, Goodson, but he's suspended, so...
Boy, it's interesting. I've actually been kind of disappointed with him in camp so far.
Interesting.
And I was high on Goodson last year. I like him a lot. He's And you and I agree, he's one of the nicest guys in that locker room. Just a tremendous guy. And so, I don't know. I would go Gunter over him.
Oh, I agree.
Gunter's you're talking about four. Fifth. I'm sorry. Gunter's I'm four, sorry. I'm thought thinking, you said four.
Okay.
Okay, yes. I would say Goodson is the fifth for sure. Competing with Rob Daniel.
So on the fence, in order, I got Daniel, Hawkins, Dorleant, and Gatewood.
Okay.
Now, Daniel, Mike... The special teams dimension, right?
Yeah. We were talking about this on the phone today.
It's big.
It is big. He's on kickoff return, he's on kick cover, he's on punt return, and he's on punt cover. And he was starting with the first team on all of those. And to me, that tells me one of two things. It either tells me that they really like him and they want him to play those spots, or they think he can be good and so they want to give him as many chances to prove them wrong as possible. So either way, good thing for Robertson Daniel, I think, that he's with the starters on four of the special teams units.
Yeah. Is he a real player? I don't know yet. You know, he sits there, he looks good, he stays square and bump and run at the line, he's got good technique. 6'1", looks beautiful, you know. I just don't know if he's ready for prime time.
I think that's fair.
Cliche says. All right.
Now, you like this guy behind him, Josh Hawkins.
So I got him next. Hawkins, the rookie from East Carolina. 4.39. Mikey's been a pest out there. He's feisty. He gets after these the starting wideouts. He's not afraid. I like him.
Was he feisty when you talked to him, too? Does he have that vibe, or does he have a different demeanor in person?
No, he had some of that in him, too. You know, he was confident in his ability. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay.
That translates. You know, he's 5.5, which isn't great. The knock on him was he wasn't real physical. Not real instinctive. So, you know, that's as a college player. But it's been pretty good so far.
Okay.
Now let's go to McKinton Dorleant, Northern Iowa. Talked to him the night of the draft. Did a separate story on the kid. He's really a bright-eyed guy. Again, exact same speed and height as Hawkins, 4.39, 5.10 and a half. Practiced a week, and then he wrecked a hamstring.
I think so.
I kind of like the first week. How about you?
He didn't jump off the page to me as much as Hawkins has. And maybe that's because of the physicality factor. I'm not saying that Dorleant doesn't play with physicality, but Hawkins, I thought, was a little bit more noticeable, almost combative, like he wants to show these guys that he's not afraid to mix it up.
Dorleant has a little Casey Hayward in him.
Okay.
Can you see that? It just occurred to me.
Yeah.
Kind of a little sinewy, slippery kind of a guy.
A little
who
bit.
Plays the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see more from Dorleant, and he's back now, and he'll play tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Now, Gatewood, a kid that they wanted to sign right after the draft. He agreed. And then, what was the injury?
I think it was hamstring.
Yeah. And he didn't sign until July 20.
Right.
Wow. I kind of like this Gatewood. You know, he told me he was a late bloomer. He played some wide receiver in high school. Then he went to Alcorn out of Baltimore. It's the only scholarship he had, I think. He had to play safety all last year.
Really?
Yeah. They had some personnel problems. He had to move from corner to safety.
Okay.
I see a lot of toughness in this guy.
Oh, he hits. There's no doubt about it. He's not afraid to hit.
And he's 5'11 and a half.
He took that shot on, who was it? Which quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
Gave him a concussion.
Austin Davis.
Yeah. Davis had a concussion.
Yeah. You know, he's raw. I mean, he hasn't played as much, you know, good football as Hawkins and Dorlant. But I think he's a practice squad guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how about safety?
Safety. All right, we got the big three. Number four is Banjo, mm-hmm. but I still got him on the fence. And then I got Bryce at safety, who's also on the fence. And then there's three guys long shots. So let's talk about Banjo.
I would have put him more toward the good bet category. Yeah. I think that, you know, I wrote a story on special teams a couple days ago. And in doing so, his name came up when I was talking to a few of the coaches. And he got some really rave reviews. You know, McCarthy said it's a guy that they, you know, they need to have on this team. And a couple of the other players said that, you know, it's a guy that they you need to have him in this locker room for his locker room presence. So, and he is their most consistent special teams player. Played the most snaps of anybody, right?
Yeah.
So I would have moved him up to the good bet, but Bryce is intriguing, man. You called that one a while ago. As soon as you saw his test numbers, you said, I wonder if this kid can do something. And it turns out he can do something.
4.43, 42 on the vert, wasn't it? Or
yeah,
41?
42, I think.
11-1 or 3 on the broad jump? 21 reps on the bench? Are you kidding me?
He would have been among the top. You wrote in that story that other than Jalen Ramsey, he would have probably been at the top of the measurements.
It's astonishing. You know, he's a non-combine guy from La Tech. Boy, there was two examples of range in that game that just jumped out at me Friday night. Friday night? Friday night.
So why didn't he get invited to the combine? Why didn't he have more hype if he's such a freak?
He got benched in the middle of his sophomore year for blowing a coverage against UTEP. He told me that. He said he learned a heck of a lesson. He got flat benched half the year. He's not a big hitter. That's two scouts have told me that. Guys were stepping out of his tackles, according to one guy. They don't think it's a real terrible thing, but it's, you know, it's not a real plus for him, and that probably held some teams back. There was a bunch of clubs that wanted to sign him after the draft. So I don't know. I mean, Banjo's got great speed. You know, he runs sub 4.45 as well, like Bryce. Banjo's smart. He's a pretty good player from scrimmage. You know, Bryce has got to have a couple, two or three outstanding games like the other night to even challenge Banjo or to force this team to keep five safeties.
I was just going to say, do you think there's any chance they keep five?
To keep Bryce? I mean, everybody in the league knows Bryce's numbers, and they're all going to be jumping all over that tape the other night.
Exactly.
And the succeeding tapes. He could get claimed. He could as a free agent. That doesn't happen much, but he could. So I don't know.
What do you think happens when Goodson comes back?
Injuries will take care of that.
Do you think he'll end up on the team?
Not necessarily.
I agree. I think it's up in the air.
Yeah. Injuries should take care of it. You know, after a month, that's the way it works. All right, special teams. We got Crosby as a lock. Let's talk about long snapper. Okay, so obviously they signed Jesse Schmidt. He busted his hand, right?
Yes, broken hand.
First snap. So he got injury settled and he's out of here. So they're not content with Lovato.
Right.
Lovato snapped pretty well, hasn't he, Mike?
Recently. First week of camp, I thought he really struggled. And then Schmidt came in shortly thereafter. But lately, I think he's been okay.
You know, it's this protection thing. He didn't do it at Old Dominion, and I mean, most college snappers don't. But this is a thing that's very important, and they've had some near blocks. And I don't know if it's on Lovato, but he plays a key role in it. So I think they're looking, and I'm saying he's on the fence. He doesn't have this job won. He's competing against the cuts around the league.
So right now, what do you think is more likely? That Rick Lovato is the starting long snapper when we go to Jacksonville, or that Brett Goud is the starting long snapper when we go to Jacksonville?
Surgery's December 28, Mike, mm-hmm. ACL.
Yep.
So I don't think it's Goud on 8 months.
He's been snapping since June.
Okay.
That's when he started snapping, and he's been running, so he's fine. in terms of, you know, what he needs to do physically. It's just a matter of how do the Packers feel about lining up a guy only 8 months after an ACL.
Yeah. I don't think he opens the season.
Do you think he opens the season somewhere else?
No. I think, you know, the angle that those guys have to set their knee at, I think it's a strain on that knee.
Do you think he plays this year? Somewhere.
I hope he does. I like him. I'm just not sure.
Okay.
All right, punter. I got them both on the fence. What would you have done?
Mastay on the fence, Mortel a long shot.
Okay.
Just because I think Mortel has been... When Mortel has been good, he can kick. There's no doubt about it. And he had that one placement kick in the exhibition game down to the 4-yard line on the left side that was just tremendous. But he's been so inconsistent. And Mastay has not been great by any means. And he's also been inconsistent. But the bottom line is that he's been here for a while. He's a terrific holder. And I just think that Mastay's going to end up winning the job again.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think this week's going to be telling, this Oakland game. I think if Mortel doesn't do it, he could get cut and they could make another move. Mastay's been ordinary. Now, there have been 6 punting periods in pads against a rush. Mastay, on those 6 periods, has punted 31 times. His average hang is 4.41. Mortel has had 28 punts. His average hang is 4.07. Mortel did a nice job in the game the other night. And then he had his worst moment of the summer, Sunday.
Yep.
With his 8 punts, his last four were under 3.4 hang. He was working on speeding up his mechanics, and he lost it.
One of the biggest differences I noticed between the two guys has nothing to do at all with punting. It's just the way they're built. Mastay is built like a legitimate athlete. You know, when you look at him in the locker room, he has a six-pack, and he's got muscles, and he was All-State in multiple sports. Mortel is smaller, a little bit thinner build. Do you think that would play into their mind at all? Just who's a better overall athlete in case something happens, in case there's a wild snap, in case he needs to tackle somebody? Do you think that would matter at all? Because they are built quite differently.
A little bit, Mike, yeah. Mastay, with this athletic ability, we've seen him fake things.
No doubt.
He's also a really good kickoff man.
Is he?
A couple of years ago, he kicked off half the year. They were going to relieve Crosby.
Oh, okay.
Who's a good kickoff man, too. But Mastay had tremendous hang and distance.
Okay.
They gave it back to Crosby at midseason because I think Crosby wanted to help him kick field goals. He thought it was an assist. So he's got that versatility. He's a good holder. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. They certainly could pick up a punter on the last cuts. They could.
And you said there were some decent ones out there too, right?
Right now there aren't.
Oh, okay. Are you talking about kickers?
Yeah.
That's what it was, kickers.
Much better kicker crop right now, yeah. Okay. The veteran punter group on the street is nil.
Okay.
So that's, I guess we've done 90-man roster breakdown, eh, Mike?
Yeah, it took us 58 minutes, but we did
it. Ad nauseum. All right, where are we at now, Mike? Questions?
Yeah, let's take some questions. Go. All right, 1 second here. So I'm digging through the questions here. We have a ton of them this week, so we appreciate all you guys sending them in. The first one here comes from someone who has submitted questions before. Youper. We got a Youper, Bob. And the Youper wants to know, with all the impending free agents on the offensive line, which young linemen have looked the most impressive, if any, for this summer or for future use?
Well, Jason Spriggs leads the way, Youper. Jason's been pretty darn good. 73 snaps the other night. First 40 were pretty flawless. I think he tired at the end. He had some bad plays. But Spriggs looks like, you know, he's the number 2 left tackle behind Bakhtiari. Balaga gets hurt. He's going to right tackle. He's played well. He looks like a guy worthy of being drafted in the middle of the second. I'm a little higher on Kyle Murphy than Mike is. He's a 6th-round pick from Stanford, had a concussion, missed a couple weeks, but I thought he was all right early on. Those are the young guys. Lucas Patrick, this free agent guard from Duke, not bad. I think he's practice squad ready.
Okay. Next question comes from Dane Shuda. Dane wants to know, what should fans look for when watching preseason games? I'll give you 3 things that I think are interesting to look for. One thing that I started doing last year, which was my first year covering the NFL, a lot of times when we watch football on TV growing up, by default, we just kind of begin the play by looking at the quarterback. And one thing I've started doing is staring right down the line of scrimmage And even after the ball is snapped, I keep my eyes there for a second or so just to see who gets off the line well or if anything crazy happens. And then I flick my attention back to the quarterback or wherever the ball is. So that's one thing to look for. Another one is something you and I do in practice a lot, Bob. Sometimes we'll just pick one guy and we'll say, let's watch this guy on this play and just see how he does in a matchup situation. So pick somebody that you think is a bubble player, watch him for one or two snaps, and then see what you think about him. And then the third thing, pay attention to who plays on special teams and how much they play on special teams.
And Mike, the question was something about a preseason game or something?
Yes.
You want to say something about that, Mike?
That's all you, Bob. This is your bone to pick.
Well, the word preseason will only appear in my copy or in my speech if I'm quoting somebody. It's an exhibition game. They were exhibition games in NFL parlance until, I don't know, the 90s when this sanitized preseason came in. They're an exhibition game. They should be called what they are, an exhibition, and not a very good one. Thank you.
Okay. Now that we've all gotten off Bob's lawn, the last question is going to come from Peter Anderson. Peter wants to know, who is your one surprise cut and who is your one surprise keep at the end of camp? Well, let's see. We've got the roster here in front of us. Surprise cut. Davante Adams? That'd be a decent choice. Okay, I'll make that my surprise cut. Davante Adams. And then my surprise keep? Kentrell Bryce. Okay. Make him keep five safeties.
All right. Kentrell.
Okay. You got anything you want to add in there? Anyone you think could sneak on that we didn't mention?
Reggie Gilbert.
Okay.
We talked about him at length, but Reggie's a pretty good player.
All right. And we've really talked at length. We've gone over an hour, Bob. I don't think we've ever done that before. So
we got to get on up to the North Woods, Mike.
Bob, it's 10:30 at night. It's past my bedtime. You're the one that stays up late and watches TV late into the night.
Olympic track. I tape it, and I just fast forward, stopping only at the track.
Bob, you've been known to go for walks at midnight.
I love Tom Hammond. We don't need to get back on that. What a job he does.
All right. Well, we've got a little Black Betty on the way out, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right.